A fable tells how once upon a time there was a piece of iron that was very hard and strong. One after another, the axe, the saw, the hammer, and the flame tried to mold it. "I'll master it," said the axe. Its blows fell heavily on the iron, but every blow made its edge more blunt until it ceased to strike. "Leave it to me," said the saw, and it worked backwards and forward on the iron surface until its jagged teeth were all worn and broken. Then it fell aside. "Ah," said the hammer, "I knew you wouldn't succeed. I'll show you the way." But at the first blow, off flew its head, and the iron remained as before. "Shall I try?" asked the small, soft flame. "Forget it all," replied. "What can you do?" But the flame curled around the iron, embraced it, and never left it until the iron melted under the flame's irresistible influence. Such is the power of God's all-encompassing love that leads us through suffering, heals us, transforms us, and sustains us on our journey with joy until our joy is made complete. If you had to make big change in your life in order to avoid death tomorrow, could you do it? Statistics say that there is a 9-to-1 chance that you cannot change. Researchers have examined patients who were told to change their health, make some serious changes. But after 2 years, only 10% have made the necessary changes to improve their health. Companies spend millions of dollars on consultants each year to improve their work environment, service, and products. Most recommendations are rejected immediately. A few are short-lived. And interestingly enough, that same percent comes up again. Only 10% actually happen. Many a company has gone bankrupt because they refuse to adapt to a changing world. Life in a fallen world results in all of us developing serious heart defects. This defect limits our ability to love, hope, be at peace, and be joyful. This defect hinders our ability to serve, give, praise, and worship. God desires for us wholeness, love, and joy. God tried all sorts of remedies to heal us. God tried giving us a really long time out by sending us all out of the Garden of Eden. God tried making us earn our way by making us have to work for our food, clothing, and shelter. God tried starting all over again through the flood. God tried discipline, punishing us for our sins. God tried making a covenant with us, giving us 10 clear, simple basic commandments that would heal us and enable us to love God and our neighbor. God tried encouraging us, building us up, and later warning us through the prophets. All of these remedies failed. As a matter of fact, situation got much worse. Like the axe, saw, and hammer, none of them could heal our iron, hard, cold hearts. God, always steadfast in love with us, had another remedy, a new covenant, a life-altering heart surgery, a new covenant that is bringing health, wholeness, salvation, peace, and joy into our lives. The prophet Jeremiah proclaimed, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another or say to each other, 'Know the Lord,' for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more." God's love is a constant embracing flame, melting the ice of our soul, warming our heart, enabling us to love and be joyful. As sure as your heart beats, God is loving you. As sure as you draw in breath, the Holy Spirit is filling you with peace and joy. This is the new covenant, God's forgiving love healing you, connecting your soul to God and others with joyful love. In the 12th century, Giglio the Carthaginian describes this new covenant through a poem entitled, "Whole Life from a Grape, a Well, a Spark, and a Seed." Lord, how much juice you can squeeze from a single grape, how much water you can draw from a single well, how great a fire you can kindle from a tiny spark, how great a tree you can grow from a tiny seed. My soul is so dry that by itself it cannot pray. Yet you can squeeze from it the juice of 1,000 prayers. My soul is so parched that by itself it cannot love. Yet you can draw from it boundless love for you and for my neighbor. My soul is so cold that by itself it has no joy. Yet you can light the fire of heavenly joy within me. My soul is so feeble that by itself it has no faith. Yet by your power my faith grows to a great height. Thank you for prayer, for love, for joy, for faith. Let me always be prayerful, faithful, loving, joyful. God's new covenant enables us to reframe our thinking, experience God's forgiveness, sense the flame of God's love and the peaceful, joyful air of the Holy Spirit. The new covenant is the remedy for our heart defects. Unfortunately, often we try to heal ourselves by just our thinking, by the rules, by disciplining ourselves. The Apostle Paul lamented the futility of this approach. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. I want to do what is good, but I don't do it. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Most often, what holds us back from being joyful, peaceful, and loving, what holds us back from making good, positive, healing change in our lives, is that we view change as something that we only do, an activity or habit that must be altered. We tend to approach change with facts, analysis, and information. And thinking is just a small part of transformation. What we are missing, says John Carter, a Harvard Business School professor and expert on organizational change, is the heart. Behavioral change happens mostly by speaking to people's feelings. In highly successful change efforts, people find ways to help others see the problems or solutions in ways that influence emotions, not just thoughts. Dr. Dean Ornish, founder of the Preventative Medicine Research Institute in California, agrees. Rather than tell a patient to change or die, the conventional approach, he focuses on helping them tap into their emotions, for joy is a much more powerful motivator than fear. Change happens when we nurture joyful, loving relationships. What these change experts have discovered is something that God is already doing through the new covenant. If you really want to change people's behavior, you need to give them a story, an identity, a relationship that is emotionally resonant. The prophet Jeremiah explains how God is working to transform us, humanity notoriously resistant to change, by offering us not another set of rules, rather offering us a relationship. We have a long history of being frozen, trying to preserve ourselves by having an ironclad heart, by trying to protect ourselves by letting no one into our heart. Often we are absurdly stubborn, resisting even the very best change for us. After God delivered the Israelites from slavery, They fought the wonderful change of freedom. And what did they wanted to do? They wanted to go back into slavery. God's grace forgives us, sets us free from sin, and gives us the power to choose to do whatever we want, to choose an abundance of good and loving ways of being. And what do we often do? Go back to the same sins over and over again. So God takes the initiative to transform us. The old covenant, the one written on a tablet of stone, was in effect a thinking approach to change. Facts, information, commandments. That covenant was broken because the people couldn't adapt themselves to it fully. They couldn't conform to the rules. Like an addict who tries harder and harder to bolster the willpower to change, the people of God in the end were powerless to make those difficult lifestyle changes on their own. So God turns to another approach. Rather than write another legal prescription or warn us of impending doom, God is putting a new covenant in our hearts, in our emotions, in our hopes, and in our dreams. God has moved away from commandments to conversations, from rules to loving relationships. No longer would we simply know about God as some external agent who heals us by calling for our obedience. Rather, we will personally experience God and God's forgiving grace, love, peace, and joy. Jesus embodied this new covenant. While the religious leaders and others around him continually pressed him for the rules, Jesus was constantly calling people to engage God through a relationship rather than through religious rituals. Jesus invited people to know God, to experience God, to enjoy being with God, to savor peace and joy, to let go of burdens and sins and stereotypes, to receive grace and forgiveness, to love God, to love all people, to love yourself, to follow a new path of loving service. Loving with all your mind, soul, strength, and heart is the way to glorious wholeness. Jesus painted a picture of the future filled with joyful, abundant life for those who would be transformed in this way. Jesus said, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Unless a grain of wheat dies, it cannot change, be transformed. Unless it dies, it cannot grow." Barbara Brown Taylor said, "If you encase the seed in plastic and hang it around your neck, it will never be good for anything but a mere trinket." What Jesus is telling us is that if we do everything in our power to protect our lives the way that they are, if we successfully prevent change, prevent conflict, prevent pain, then at the end we will find that we have no life at all. But if we hate all the ways that we cheapen our lives by chasing comfort, safety, and superiority in this world, if we hate that enough to stop it, and start chasing God instead, there will be no end to the abundance of our lives. C.S. Lewis came to terms with the reality that his protected life in academia had kept him safe, but it had not given him joy. Lewis deeply loved a woman who was dying of cancer. Only by risking opening himself to immense sadness, loss, death, and grieving, the risk of deeply loving, did Lewis finally discover deep and lasting joy. Preoccupation with self stifles joy and love. Anything given half-heartedly is not a joy, rather a chore. Joy flourishes from loving relationships. Joy flourishes from giving yourself away for God, for others, for that which is bigger than yourself. Joy flourishes from glorifying God. When we give ourselves away in love, that is, when we truly love, then we truly live. That is when we are filled with glory and joy. In order for us to discover the joy of loving, we need to change. We need to be transformed. The transformation begins when we let go, when we allow that hinders our love and joy to die. This results in the ice of our soul melting. This results in letting our iron, hard heart yield to that molding love of God. Jesus compared his death on the cross to a seed being buried in the ground. Jesus took all that destroys love, peace, and joy and buried it in the ground at the foot of the cross so that love, peace, and joy can grow, can flourish, can blossom. The result is much fruit. The seed which was alone is now surrounded by seeds. Jesus ended his teaching, "I will draw all people to myself." Jesus came to unite us all in the joyful love of God, loving each other like a cluster of seeds, like a bunch of grapes. Jesus came not to condemn the world, rather to save the world. Jesus came to make whole our hearts. Jesus came to help us change, to let go, to let die all that hinders our love so that we can be transformed, filled with the peaceful air of the Holy Spirit, molded by the love of God and filled with the joy of abundant life by our relationships with Jesus. Jesus came to show us the joy of loving. Amen.